going to turn to John's Gospel in just a moment.
But first of all, Luke in chapter 5. We'll read the first 11 verses. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, from now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Well, let's turn to John's Gospel now, John and chapter 21. John and chapter 21. And this is the last chapter, as you will see, of John's Gospel. John's message has really come to an end. The climactic verses of John's Gospel, you see, are to be found right at the end of John and chapter 20. And we've quoted these verses many times as we've worked our way through John's Gospel. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is where John has been heading. John chapter 21 is really an appendix or an add-on, but it's an important add-on. John still has things that he wants to say. And the reason he has things that he still wants to say is because there are unanswered questions. And perhaps the key unanswered question is, well, what happened to Peter? Peter, who denied his Lord three times. Well, John 21 answers that question. There are other questions that are answered as well, and we'll come to them in due time. But this morning, let's read together John chapter 21 and verses 1 to 14. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of his disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same thing with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And we thank God for the reading of his precious word. Rarely do Christians fall dramatically. Sometimes, sadly, they do, and it tends to send shock waves throughout the church. We tend to drift almost imperceptibly from the place that we ought to be, from the place where Christ would have us be. Our experience is a little bit more like a boat on a lovely, calm, sunny day, just sort of drifting from its moorings. Another way to look at it would be to say that we hear a good sermon on a Sunday, but it tends to get lost on us because the cares of this world choke the word and cause it to be unfruitful. I think one of the things that Jesus is constantly seeking to do is get us back on track as Christians. Interestingly, even as a result of singing some of the hymns this morning and listening to Ivan speak, I feel that in some measure I've been brought back on track this day, and that's good. Jesus is, after all, the good shepherd who endeavours to keep his sheep on the right pathway for his name's sake. He wants to keep us focused. He wants us to be in the right place, to be doing the right things before him. Now, Peter and some of the other disciples had received a very clear calling from the Lord Jesus to leave their nets and to become fishers of men. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 16, we read, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And only last week we saw Jesus saying to his disciples in chapter 20 and verse 21, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." So a very clear calling from Jesus. But it would seem that Peter and some of the other disciples, though we're going to focus largely on Peter this morning, temporarily lost sight of their calling and strayed or wandered from it. And so Jesus, as we see in these verses, had to appear to them again in order to remind them of their calling and to get them back on track again. You see, he wanted them to be fishers of men, not fishers of fish. There are just two headings this morning, and the first one is this, that they were in danger of wandering away from their calling. Now, you might question that. You might say, well, is that really what's happening in these verses? Especially having just received the message from Jesus in verse 20. "Just as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." But I think it's fair to say, isn't it, that the message that we sometimes receive is lost on us so, so quickly. We might come into church on a Sunday and we hear a sermon and we say, yes, that's exactly right, I need to act on that. But by Monday morning, other things have come in and the message has been lost on us. That can happen so, so easily. Let me ask the question, where were these disciples supposed to meet Jesus? Well, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 16 provides us with the answer. In Galilee, on a mountain. And I emphasize the "on a mountain." Did they go to the mountain? Well, probably. They certainly got there at some point because according to Matthew's gospel, Jesus gave to them the Great Commission on the mountain, to go into all the world and preach the gospel and so on and so forth. But where do we find them at the beginning of John and chapter 21? not up a mountain, but by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, or as it says in the NIV, by the Sea of Tiberias. It's the same place, it's the same sea. And we ask the question, well, why are they there? Why are they by the shore? Why aren't they up the mountain? Because Peter wants to go fishing. Perhaps he'd been standing on the mountain for a while waiting for Jesus, but he hadn't arrived quickly enough for Peter. And his tummy starts rumbling. Becomes more and more hungry. I imagine Peter to have been a really big, strong, tough guy who needed to be fed regularly. And Peter is not exactly the sort of man to stand around doing nothing. We know from our reading of the Gospels that Peter is an incredibly active man. He wants to get going. He wants to be doing. And there, out of the corner of his eye, perhaps he sees his fishing boat. It's still there by the shore. And how Peter loves fishing. Fishing is so great. Is there anything wrong with fishing? I don't think so. Is there anything wrong with working hard in order to make a living, to provide yourself with food? I don't think so. And most of you will know by now, because I've said it enough times, I like skiing. Is there anything wrong with skiing? I don't think so. But what if I had a friend in Switzerland, and I don't have a friend in Switzerland, but what if I had a friend in Switzerland who owned this lovely chalet up in the mountains, and he said to me, Mark, come and join me for 6 months at the end of this year. Come and join me for the winter season. We'll have 6 fantastic months together, and we can ski every day, and all the expenses will be paid for you. Now that, I can assure you, would be extremely tempting. Is there anything wrong with skiing? No. But would it be wrong for me to go? Well, actually, I think it would be wrong for me to go, and for 2 reasons. One, I'm responsible for a family, for my wife and for my children. And 2, God has called me to be the under-shepherd in this local fellowship. I can't just go wandering from my calling in order to do the things that I enjoy. I think it would be wrong. I think it would be sinful for me to go. You know, Peter's failure, Peter's sin, was not an obvious, aggressive disobedience. I don't think Peter wanted to deny his calling. I'm 100% convinced this morning that Peter really loved the Lord. In fact, you can look from verse 15 onwards in this chapter and see that that's so. On 3 occasions, Peter says, you know I love you, Lord. But this, I would suggest to you, was a dangerous drifting or a dangerous wandering from the way that Jesus wanted him, along with the other disciples, to take. And you know what was the worst thing about this? Peter's actions affected others. Peter thought it was a good idea to go fishing. Verse 3, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, well, we'll go with you. Now, they weren't all fishermen, but some of them were, and no doubt they liked fishing as well. And it was rather tempting to get in the boat and do all that needed to be done with Peter. Friends, beware of being a stumbling block to others. Beware of causing little ones to sin. Jesus says, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. You see, we must never say that our actions don't affect anyone. The reality is that our actions do affect others. All that we do, that we shouldn't do, And all that we don't do that we should do, to some extent, affects others. You know, there are some times when I don't have a quiet time in the morning. I fail to do something that I should do. I know that that affects me, and I know that it affects others who I rub shoulders with. I know it does. It doesn't mean that I suddenly become a mass murderer, but what it does mean is that I fail to really do those things throughout the day and talk to those I'm talking to in a way that I ought to. Might make me slightly more grumpy. But if I'm not walking really closely with the Lord, in some way I know, even if it's only in a small measure, my life is affecting others in a negative way. Perhaps to this thought I could add that we are imitative beings. We tend to copy what others do. Our previous pastor, when we were up in Suffolk, a little while after he started his ministry there, decided that he wasn't going to wear a tie anymore on a Sunday. Sometime after that, it was very noticeable that significant numbers of men who had worn ties for donkey's years stopped wearing ties. Now, I'm not saying that by not wearing a tie you're sinning. Of course, I'm not saying that. What I'm simply pointing out is that we tend to copy one another. We're imitative beings. We are like sheep. That is such a brilliant metaphor of us, because if one sheep goes that way, we all have a tendency to follow. You know, it'd be great if we were all Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego's, or if we were all Daniel's, but we tend to be like sheep in that we copy the example of others. And so we need to be so careful, don't we? How we behave, how we live before others. When I was a young Christian in my early 20s, my dads would sometimes quote to me this chorus. They are watching you, watching all you do, hearing the things you say. Let them see the Saviour as he shines in you. Let his power control you every day. And it's so important, isn't it, that we let his power control us every day, because we want to be a good witness that sets the example before others. Are you being a good example, a good witness to those in your home, to others in the church? I hope you are. You certainly can be. So important. And I think that by his actions, Peter distanced himself from Jesus. He could have been up the mountain enjoying fellowship with Jesus along with the others. Instead, he found himself away from Jesus and in his adorable boat. How he loved his boat. And I think that Peter was in real danger of lingering in Galilee. You know, I'm picturing that little chalet in Switzerland. But I think Peter was picturing that little house beside the Sea of Galilee. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Peter? Can you imagine looking over the lake? Can you imagine what it must have been like when the sun set? Peter's favourite thing was fishing. Can you imagine at the end of a really hot day going onto that lovely water and enjoying the cool of the night and doing your favourite thing? But you see, Jesus hadn't called Peter to enjoy life on the Lake of Galilee. Jesus had called Peter to danger, to sacrifice, to mission. And friends, I think that all of this is a really challenging word for every single one of us this morning. Because it is so easy to just drift away from Jesus and serving him to living a life by the Sea of Galilee. Friends, let us not waste our lives. John Piper writes this: I will tell you what a tragedy is. I will show you how to waste your life. Consider this story from the February 1998 Reader's Digest. A couple took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. Picture them before Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my shells. That is a tragedy. God created us to live with a single passion, to joyfully display his supreme excellence in all the spheres of life. Don't waste your life. We've been created, we've been redeemed in order to live for Jesus, to worship him, to serve him, wherever he calls us to do that. These disciples, secondly, I believe, needed to be reminded of their calling. Now, do you remember last week how that Jesus came and dealt with Thomas? Thomas was full of unbelief. He didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. We saw that he laid down demands for believing. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. I'm not going to believe unless. Well, Jesus was so gracious, wasn't he? He didn't come into the room and criticize Thomas or judge him. He simply stooped down in order to meet Thomas where he was at. He stooped down and met Thomas's demands. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And I really liked that when I read that last week. But you know, something similar, I believe, happens in this particular account as well that we're looking at this morning. Jesus comes and he doesn't criticize Peter and the others. He doesn't give them a good telling off. He doesn't judge them. He doesn't make them feel guilty. No, he simply comes to remind them that he has called them to be fishers of men, not fishers of fish. We read Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11 earlier on in the service, along with John 21, 1 to 14, of course, so that we might see the similarity between these two accounts. How could Peter, on this particular day, in the light of these events, not remember what had happened at the very beginning when Jesus had called him to leave his nets and follow him? He couldn't. Now, I don't want to preach next week's sermon this week, but look at verse 15. Verse 15 of John chapter 21. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Now, what are the these? Commentators seem to have all sorts of fun trying to work out what the these are. Some say that the these refer to the other disciples. In other words, Peter, do you love me more than these, more than your friends? But I somehow don't think that that was what Jesus was saying. It seems a really odd thing for Jesus to say. Who loves me the most? I think the these refers to the fish and the bread and the boat, and the Sea of Galilee, and the lovely mountains around the Sea of Galilee, and the lovely house beside the Sea of Galilee, and the sunsets, and everything else. Peter, do you love me more than these things? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. Well, in that case, feed my lamb. In that case, go and be a fisher of men. Go and fulfill your calling. Stop being sidetracked by all these other things, get back on track again. Do that which I require of you. And perhaps this morning, you know, God simply wants to say to us that you've wandered from the primary calling. Get back on track again. Be that which I want you to be. Worship and serve me in the way that I want you to do that. So easy, isn't it, to sidetrack? So easy to wander from the place where we ought to be. But Jesus lovingly and graciously comes to us this morning. He says, I want you to go and do that which I've called you to do. Now, before I conclude, I want us to take note of a number of lessons from this story. Do we want to be a fisher of men? I'm sure we do. Well, let's take note of a few lessons from this story. Firstly, we can do nothing apart from Jesus. We can do nothing apart from Jesus. Peter was an experienced fisherman, as were some of the others. He had no doubt perfected every technique and knew exactly where to fish and where not to fish. But this night, he and the others had caught absolutely nothing. And I think what Jesus was teaching Peter is this, that you will not catch anything apart from me. Friends, we won't catch anything apart from Jesus. Thank God for the gifts and abilities given to those in the church, but we cannot go forward seeking to catch men in our own strength. It's the work of Jesus. This was Peter's experience, wasn't it? In the days that followed, in the power of the Spirit, he stood up on the day of Pentecost, and as he did so, the Lord Jesus worked by his Spirit, and 3,000 people were gathered, as it were, into the net. We need Jesus to catch fish. We can do nothing apart from Jesus. Verse 4 says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" They answered, "No." And he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." Why on earth should they listen to this man, whom they didn't recognize on the shore, telling them how to fish when they had so much experience themselves? I suspect that they recognized, no, let me use a different word, they had an inkling as to who this was, especially in the light of past experience. And so they did what they were told. And we know the rest of the story, don't we? When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. We can do nothing apart from Jesus. We need Jesus to catch fish. But thirdly and lastly, walking in obedience to Jesus will result in great fellowship along the way. Thankfully, these disciples obeyed the Lord Jesus. And when they obeyed, they caught a great number of fish. As soon as they had caught that fish, John was in no doubt as to who it was on the shore. "It is the Lord," said John. And as soon as Peter realized that this was the case, he was off into the water in order to get to Jesus. And it wasn't long before the others followed as well. And not long after that, there they all were, sitting around the fire, enjoying breakfast with Jesus, enjoying fellowship with Jesus. You know, when we walk in obedience to the Lord, that's what we get to enjoy. Fellowship with Jesus. It's better. It's better to be out of the boat or away from the ski resort, around the campfire and enjoying fellowship with Jesus, than it is to be in the boat or at the ski resort and be out of fellowship with Jesus. How important it is that we walk in obedience to him. That's the way we get the joy. That's the way we get the most intimate fellowship. Now, as I conclude this morning, can I just turn you over the page, at least it's over the page in my Bible, to John 21 and verses 15 to 17. I'm going to read these verses and just make a brief comment on them as we close. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to them, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." I want to ask you this morning, do you love him? I want to ask you a second time, do you love him? I want to ask you a third time, do you really love the Lord Jesus? If you really love the Lord Jesus, then do that which he has called you to do. If you've wandered from your calling, if you spent too much time by the Sea of Galilee enjoying the fishing, if you recognize what I mean by that, then come back and start doing the things that Jesus would have you do. Let's pray together. Lord, the frightening thing about looking at the story of Peter is that we see ourselves. We've seen this morning that Peter wandered from his calling. Even though he professed to love you, even though no doubt he justified what he did, Lord, that wasn't where he was supposed to be. Lord, we know that we're not in the place that we ought to be quite a bit of the time. We're so prone to wander. We're so like Peter. We're so like sheep. We get caught up with the cares of this world. We get caught up, yes, even with the deceitfulness of wealth. Lord, we are so easily distracted by things that may be good, even in and of themselves. But help us, Lord, to realize what our primary calling is, to worship you, to serve you, to do those things that you have called us to do. Help us to get it right. Help us to never lose sight of our calling. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.